is no return. Nothing I can give to back in return to God for His mercies. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Turning your Bibles this morning to the book of Jeremiah. We'll turn to three or four passages here at the beginning, but I want to start off with Jeremiah chapter number 27. Jeremiah chapter number 27. Jeremiah chapter number 27. I think it's going to be clearly seen this morning that God does not want us to die. Isn't that a blessing? God does not want us to die. It's not in His plan. It's not what He wants. It's not what He wanted from the beginning. If that's what He wanted from the beginning, then He wouldn't have told Adam and Eve about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and said, if you eat of it, you shall surely die. He would have just left that part off. He wouldn't have included that. He wouldn't have included any warning passage to them. Now the age-old question comes about, doesn't it, right there? Then why did you put it in the garden, right? Well, I don't know that I can answer that question accurately and be able to do so for you today. And I don't know that I would be able to be wise enough or theological enough to figure it all out. But I do understand this, that love is a choice. Love is a choice. You choose to love somebody. You don't fall in love. That's what the world says, isn't it? They say, well, I fell in love with somebody. No, you don't. You know, that's you fell in lust. You choose to love somebody, don't you? You choose to. That's why when somebody is sick and dying of cancer and they are laying there in a hospital bed and she's lost all her hair, she's not even got any eyebrows left, and her eyes are sucking into the back of her head, and man, she just looks ragged and just about on the point of death, yet there could be a husband right beside her just loving her, holding her hand. They ask to say, and look at her and say, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Why is that? Love. Love is a choice. It's a choice. God there, I have put that there in the garden because that was a choice. Love is a choice. God, in His great grace, chose to love us. And one act of His love is this, is that He does not want us to die. Even after it was all said and done, even after they had sinned, what did God do? He provided a way. We call that atonement. He provided a way so that man could be brought back to God, so that he would not have to die forever. And He also did something very gracious for Adam and Eve. He took away the tree of life. I was talking to Miss Joy about that the other day. Can you imagine old Adam and Eve still walking around upon the face of the earth, living eternally with a sin-wrecked body? Man, that would be horrible. Man, they'd be horrible-looking creatures, wouldn't they? They said, what in the world is that? I was up at Adam. Sin from the beginning of time, ate the tree of life, still living around. Man, I wouldn't want to have that. I'm glad that this sin-cursed body is going to pass off one day, and then I'm going to get a new body, amen? I'm not going to live with this old body for the rest of my life, but praise the Lord, I'm getting a new body in heaven one day through Jesus Christ our Lord. God does not want us to die. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as we just sang, taking my sin, my shame, my cross upon Him, so that I wouldn't have to die and forever be separated from God and live in the second death, which is called hell. God does not want us to die. I also believe that God doesn't want us to die before our time. I won't get into it, but you know Ecclesiastes talks about that. He says, why would a man die before his time? Why should a man die before his time? It is appointed that a man wants to die, and after this the judgment, Hebrews tells us, no doubt about that. We all have an appointment date with death, but you can die before your time. People say sometimes this is Paul's statement. Well, I'm just going to live like the devil because I'm going to die whatever God says I'm going to die. No, I don't know about that. Better be careful. Better be watchful. You might die before your time. You might die before you die. God doesn't want us to die spiritually, but I'll tell you, my friend, He does not take pleasure in death physically. So how do you know that? Well, look at him there in John chapter number 4. What did he do with Lazarus? He comes to the grave of Lazarus, and he sees all the people there doing, and what does he do? They are weeping, and what does he begin to do? Weep. And he heals, and he brings out Lazarus. Not heals him, but he brings him back from the dead. The only funeral that God ever went to, that Jesus ever went to, is in the city of Nain. That's the only funeral that he ever went to that we know of in God's Word. And in that funeral that he went to, they were carrying the coffin down the street, and he saw, sees the coffin, and he touches the coffin, and out comes that widow lady's son. Can you imagine that? I mean, here he comes out talking and everything. The other place that he comes to, whenever a little girl dies, Jairus' daughter, 12 years old, she's dead. She's dead, I tell you. And he goes into the room and he says, Talitha Kuma. He says, that is to say, daughter, I say unto thee, arise. Arise. And she lives. One day he's going to raise up every single one that is dead in Christ and bring them home to glory one day. God doesn't want us to die. In Jeremiah chapter number 27 and verse number 13, God asks a very interesting question. He says, why will you die? Thou and thy people by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against that nation, against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon. Why will you die? Why will you not do what I ask you to do? Why will you die? He asked. Turning your Bibles over to the book of Ezekiel. You can hold your Bible there in Jeremiah 27, but go back over to the book of Ezekiel. We were in Ezekiel for Sunday school. Ezekiel chapter number 18 and verse number 31. Again, God says to the people of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse number 31, He says, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that died, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live, ye. Now turn your Bibles one more time to the book of Ezekiel again, to chapter number 33. Chapter 33 in verse number 11. Chapter 33 in verse number 11. Again, we see this question come to us. It's only the three times you find it in the Bible. Ezekiel 33 and verse number 11. He says to them, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now catch that. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But this is what I take pleasure in. I take pleasure in this. That's what he's saying. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, and here it is again, for why will you die, O house of Israel? I have three specific questions that I want to present to you today, and they all have to do with this particular question that God has asked the children of Israel three times. Why will you die? Let's pray. Father, well, thank you for this blessed day. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that you have given to us the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. Thank you that one died in my place, and that I no longer now have to suffer eternal death because your Son died in my place and rose again. I believed upon you. And Lord, I'm saved. I pray that God, today, that if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as Savior, that Lord, they would be saved and live. And I pray for all of us that are believers, that God, we will live in the life that Christ has now given to us. In Christ I pray. first question I want to give to you today is this. And I want to talk to my audience, and my first two questions are dealing with those that are believers. I'm dealing with those that are saved, those that know the Lord as your Savior. I want to ask you a question. I want to say it like this. Christian, why will you die? Why will you die? Jeremiah, going back to Jeremiah 27 in verses number 12 and 13, he is speaking to the children of Israel here, and I left out a verse in verse number 12. And I want to read that to you now because look what it says. It says, I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, Behold, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. And then he asked them, Why will you die? Why will you die? In Jeremiah chapter 42, in verses 19 through 22, you can turn there if you will for just a few moments. Jeremiah 42, in verses number 19 through 22, you find the people of God coming to Israel, coming to Jeremiah. And it says here, it says, I will show you mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return unto your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, No, but we will go down to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor the hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye will wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you fear shall overtake you in the land of Egypt, and the famine where you are afraid shall follow you close after you in the land of there in Egypt, and there shall you die. And then it says in verse number 19, he says, The Lord hath said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt, know certainly that I have admonished you this day. But look what it says in verse 1. But ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, Pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God will say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. Now I have this day declared it unto you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for which he hath sent me unto you. Christian, I have a question for you. Why will you die? You say, I thought that you just told me that as a believer that I won't have to die. That I'll be eternally saved. Well, that's exactly right. You will be eternally saved. But did you know there is a thing that you can do upon the face of this earth that where you're living but you're actually dying? You're actually dying. You're facing death on a regular basis. He had warned these people. He said, don't go down to Egypt. He had warned Zedekiah. He said, don't be fighting the Babylonians. They will come and destroy this place. Go ahead and listen to what I have to say. Surrender yourself to them and you will live. You say, well, did Zedekiah die because he didn't listen to Jeremiah? No, Zedekiah didn't die. Well, I thought you just said that he would die. We'll turn, if you will, over to Jeremiah 52 in verses 8 through 11. Zedekiah didn't die whenever they didn't listen to God. He didn't die in the city. He didn't die when he tried to get away. But I tell you this, I bet you wish he died. Look what it says in Jeremiah chapter 52 in verse number 8. It says, But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they took the king, number one, everybody left him. He was lonely. Didn't have anybody around him. Then they took the king and carried him up unto the king of Babylon, to Riblah, into the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon them. And what was his judgment? The king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and he slew all the princes of Judah at Riblah right before Zedekiah. He said, there, I want you to watch something. And he killed all of his sons right in front of him. And then he said to him, he said, that's the last thing you'll ever see. where it says in verse number 11, then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, the king of Babylon, and bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. Did Jeremiah die? Or did Zedekiah die? Not so much right then. But he lived with death the rest of his life. What's sad is that sometimes we as believers, we live just like that. Hosea said, my God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto me, and they shall be wanderers among all the nations. I wonder how many believers are just wanderers. Just kind of wandering around. When you don't live for Jesus Christ, I'll tell you right now, you're just wanderers. We're just wanderers. We don't really know which direction we're going in life. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse number 13, it says, let not man say that he is tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. Yeah, there's some different deaths in the Bible. There's a death that you actually die. There's an eternal death, but you know there's a proverbial death. There's a life that you can live upon the face of this earth as a believer without any joy, peace, satisfaction in life. And I'll tell you, every time we live in sin, we're living to death. It's death. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you ever been to a funeral of a loved one? Somebody you love very much. Maybe they were taken away suddenly from you. How does that feel? What does that do to your heart? It depresses you. It hurts you. You cry. You weep. You're in sorrow. Death. Death is not always just physical dying. We're so connected to that, we always think that it's just this physical death. But it's like a man that's been put into prison that was done something wrong, and him and his buddy went and robbed a bank, let's say. And let's say the buddy and him, they shot a guard, but on the way out, the police shot the buddy and killed him, and he died right there. But the other guy had to go to jail for the rest of his life. And as he rots in a prison cell, he thinks, man, I wish I was like my buddy. Sitting here rotting away 50 long years. Never will I ever get out. Never will I ever get out of this place. And Christian, it's sad to say, but there's sometimes we as believers, we live in this thing called a rut. You know what a rut is, don't you? It's a grave with both ends knocked out of it. You're just living in a grave. You're living in a rut. You're not getting out of the rut. And you know what? The thing about a rut is this, is that somebody else always lays down a rut before you ever get there. You're just lying in somebody else's troubles and sorrows and sin and depression and agony in life. We hear this sometimes all the time. We hear people say, often hear people say, why did he die? Why did he die? Well, he didn't listen to the signs. I mean, his heart was hurting or his left arm was hurting. He didn't listen to the signs. His blood pressure had been running high for the last month, right? He didn't listen to the signs. Well, he didn't listen to his mom. That's why. Why did he die? He didn't listen to his mother. His mother said, don't do that. His mother said, don't go there. His mother said, don't run out there. He didn't listen. He didn't listen to his doctor. His doctor said, hey, you need to do something about your health. I'm telling you right now, you need to stop smoking them cigarettes. You need to lay off the Twinkies. You need to drink more water. Something bad's going to happen. I'm just telling you, you better watch out. Why did he die? Well, he didn't listen to his doctor. We say things like this all the time. Why did they die? Well, they didn't listen to the signs. They didn't listen to the park ranger. The park ranger said when they entered the park, they said, now whatever you do, don't climb over that gate. Many people have fallen to their death on that waterfall. I've been up there on Stone Mountain Waterfall. Stone Mountain Waterfall, not Georgia, but the smaller Stone Mountain in North Carolina. There's a gate there, a fence, and it used to not be there, but they had to put a fence up because people kept wanting to get on the slippery rock that would actually lead to about 150-foot waterfall that was straight down right on granite rock. And if you slipped and fell, you would go right on down in that waterfall and you'd die, and they'd bring you to your death. And they'd say, now don't go up on that waterfall, that's slippery rock. Finally, they had to put signs up. Finally, they put a fence up. And you know what people still do to this very day? They climb over the fence to get on that slippery rock. Nonetheless, it'll be one person this year, hit that rock, fall off to the ground, they die. See, they were stupid. No, they just didn't listen. They didn't listen. And sadly to say, we as believers can do the exact same thing. Why don't you live in joy right now? I mean, why don't you just have God's joy overflowing? Why don't we have a peace that's just comforting our hearts and a complete satisfaction? What is it? Well, Galatians says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. When you sow to the flesh, you get flesh. Amen? That's what you get. How you sow anger, what you gonna get? Anybody say it? Anger, yeah, that's right. You sow deceit, what are you gonna get? Do I got a live audience or a dead audience here tonight, or this morning? You got deceit, you sow deceit, you get deceit. You sow anger, you get anger. You sow strife, you get strife. You sow pride, you get pride. I say, whatever you sow, you're going to get. The problem is this. Galatians chapter 5 and verses number 19 through 22, we're sowing the seeds of death instead of bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We're sowing the seeds of death. Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, hatred, emulation, strife, seditions, heresies, all these things. We sow those in our life, and as believers, we sometimes scratch our heads and we say, why are all these bad things coming to me? It's like I heard a preacher say one time, he said one of his congregation members came to him and said, preacher, will you pray for me? He said, my car is just running ragged. I need a new car. He said, when was the last time you changed your oil? And he said, well, I don't usually change the oil in my car. He said, well, I'm not praying for you. Why am I going to pray for you? You didn't do what you're supposed to do. You didn't do what you was asked to do. He was like, why am I on my life? It's just torn up. I ain't got nothing going on in my life. Well, I don't understand why God is blessing my life. Well, what are you doing with life? How you living life? What's your life all about? Christian, why will you die? Christian, you don't have to live in death. You don't have to live in death. What were Paul and Silas doing in the prison cell? What were they doing? Anybody tell me?
Singing.
That's exactly what they were doing. They were singing the praises of God is what they were doing. What was Daniel doing down in the lion's den? What was he doing? He was praying. He was seeking God.
You know, I just want to understand because God, a lot of bad things happening in my life right now.
What's your God? The circumstances or the God of the circumstances? Who's your God? Who is your God, Christian? So that's not easy, preacher. You're just preaching. It's not easy. I know it's not easy. That's why it's in the Bible, okay? If it's in the Bible, it's not easy, okay? Just understand that. If it was easy, it wouldn't be here. If it was eating cake and donuts, guess what? That ain't in the Bible. Because that's easy to do. You all did it this morning. I drank my coffee and some of you ate cake too. It's not hard to do those kinds of things. The Bible doesn't say, well, hey, make sure you get $8 of rest each night. That's great. We love that. That's not in the Bible. Why? Because it's easy to do. Things that are not easy to do and things that we can't do are in God's holy word. Christian, you don't have to live in death. Amen? And I wish I could get an amen right there. I'm not trying to fish for them, okay? I'm really not. But you don't have to live in death. Joy. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Meekness. Faith. Temperance. You ought to know that by heart. You ought to know that by heart. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Meekness. Faith. Temperance. Self-control. You ought to know that. You ought to have some self-control, some patience, some joy, some love in your heart. You say, I don't have any of that. Well, you're living in death then, my friend. You might be saved. You might be born again. You might be a child of God. But I'll tell you right now, you're not living like it. not experiencing the fruits of it.
I'll get all that. Christian, why will you die? Here's my second question. Christian, why? Christian, will you live? Will you live? I can spend the rest of the day right here. This is Romans 6 and Romans 8. Just preach some more for others right there. Keep you here all afternoon. I might not have anybody here by the end of the sermon, but I tell you, there's a lot going on here. Go over to Exodus. Go over to Ezekiel again. I just want to show you. I just want to read this verse one more time. Again, as I said, these are three questions. He asks three different times, but they're asked three different ways. To Zedekiah, he says, if you don't listen, you're going to die. If you don't listen, you're going to die. But in Ezekiel chapter number 18 and verse number 30, Ezekiel 18, 30, he says something a little bit different. He says in verse number 32, in fact, it says this. It says, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, save the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live, ye. Live. Exactly. God has called you and I as believers out of the lifestyle of sin and death. It's not our place to live there any longer. Sometimes have you ever heard somebody say like this? That's not my nature. Or you should just be more apologetic. Or you should just be more forgiving. Or you should just be more thankful. Well, that's just not my nature. Why, as a Christian, it ought to be. Amen. Well, I'm just not very nice. I'm kind of a sourpuss person. Well, if you're a Christian, that's not the way it ought to be. You ought to be joyful, happy, excited about living for Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you wake up in the morning and you grab your smile out of the top dresser drawer and you plaster it on your face. That's not what I mean, all right? I mean that you're serious. You love God. Go over to Romans chapter number 6. Like I said, I could be here all day long. Man, this is the passage of sin and death right here. This is the passage of sin and death, but I'll tell you what it is. It's the passage of life. The passage, the chapter of life. Romans 8 is the passage of extra life. You know, whenever you're playing video games, Albert knows what I'm talking about. He knows where I'm going with this, right? And you got that little thing on the screen. It's that extra, you get an extra life, you know? Well, you get however many lives you get, three lives or however many. Hey, Romans chapter 6 is life. But Romans chapter 8 is like the extra life. Super conquerors. More than conquerors, he says in Romans chapter number 8. But look what he says here in Romans chapter number 6. He says in verse number 9, he says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Alright? That's theologically being saying this, that Christ died for you. He rose again from the dead. Because he rose again from the dead, he'll never die again. And death no longer has any dominion over Christ. Now, who are you? You are in Christ. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Verse number 11. Likewise. Mark that in your Bible if you're in the habit of doing so. Underline it. Highlight it. Circle it. Say, what does that mean? That means you too, my friend. Likewise. You do the same thing. Reckon. Account it. Put it in your Bible, write it down, put it in the ledger book, and say it like this. Account it to yourself, my friend. Reckon ye also yourself that you are dead indeed unto sin. But look what it says. But alive. Amen. Praise God. You are dead in the trespasses of your sins, Ephesians 2, 1. But it says, now, but you are alive unto God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. God forbid.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed the heart from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness. I'll stop right there. I could just go on all day with this. Christian, you can live. Jesus said what? The thief cometh not, but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it, what's the key word? More abundantly. Not just life. I've come to get extra life, abundant life. Your old father, the devil, he kept you in the power of death and sin. He was there. He wanted to bring you down to hell's pit and let you rot with him there. That's what the devil wanted to do. That's what he wants to do with this world. He wants to take the world and everything else with it to hell with him because he knows that's where he's going. But Jesus Christ saved you from that eternal death, and you can live with him forever. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I love this next verse. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. I tell you what, before you were saved, you were nothing but a low-down, do-it-for-nothing sinner. And if you never saw yourself as a sinner, my friend, that's the first step. He says you were a sinner, you were living in sin. These people were in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. But look what he says. But now you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God doesn't want to destroy his people. God doesn't want you to live in death. God wants you to live for him. I didn't read the end of Galatians 6:8. Because I saved it till now. Well, what it says this. It says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Say, I can't wait till everlasting life. Brother, sister, you got everlasting life right this moment. Do you realize that? You have everlasting life right now, found in the Spirit of God Almighty, living inside of you. When Paul's head was going to the chopping block, what could he say? For God hath not given us the spirit of power, or excuse me, spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. I am now ready to be offered in the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, he says. I'm ready to go. It's all right. I'm okay with it, all right? God, my Christian, my friends, God wants you to live. But you read every philosopher that's out there. Read Aristotle and reread Plato and you read all the rest of them. You read about them. You read what they say about life whenever life comes to an end. I'll tell you what they'll say. They'll say the same thing that the wisest man on earth said. When life is just about this world and nothing else, that's what Ecclesiastes is all about. Did you realize that Ecclesiastes is all about that life being about this world, not the next? When life, for you as a believer or anybody, is just about this world, then it's vanity of vanities. All is vanity. But when life is about the next world, then you can live in this world. You can live. One more question. Sinner, why will ye die? Why will ye die? He says to us in Ezekiel chapter number 33, again, the mood changes. The mood changes. In this place here, he's not just talking to Israel, but he's talking directly to those that are wicked. Those that don't have God in their life. And he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die in the house of Israel? I love that verse right there. Turn ye. I mean, that's a, I tell you, Ezekiel was a priest, but he was a preacher. And that's a preacher's call right there. That's a herald's call. That's calling out, turn ye! Turn ye! You can almost see him on the street corners, can't you? Preaching out. That's a good old street preacher. Hollering out with a good old leather lung. Hollering out, turn ye! Turn ye! Being like a Jonah walking through the midst of Nineveh. In 40 days and 40 nights, Nineveh shall be overthrown. In 40 days and 40 nights, Nineveh shall be overthrown. And you can see him there standing there preaching, saying with all his heart, turn ye, turn ye. And I tell you right now, my friend, I'm telling you this morning, if you're a sinner, lost, don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, then my friend, you have no hope of life except you find life in first Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no life outside of him. He is life. If you don't have Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then my friend, this morning, you have no life, even though your heart is beating, your lungs are breathing. I'll tell you right now, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, so clear and so simple, that you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You're dead. You're actually dead. And your father is the devil. And you're living for everything that he's got going on. And what has the devil got going on? This world. And everything else. This is what he says. This is what life is about. But God says, no. Life is about me. Because I'm the one that gave life. I'm the one that distributes life. I'm the one that was in the very beginning that said, stay away from this. You'll surely die. I was the one from the very beginning of time that said basically these words that here is a lamb offered for you. Why don't you take me up on the offer? And I think they did. And I think Abel was sure, certainly did. But Cain tried to invent another way. He tried to get another way to God. There's no other way to God, my friend, but through the blood. Through Jesus Christ. Sinner, why will you die? Can I give you two reasons why you don't have to die? Two very simple reasons. Number one, God is long-suffering. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as much some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Turn ye, repent. Repent, realize that you're not believing in the right way and believe in Jesus Christ. Realize it's your sin that's taking you to hell. Realize it's your sin that is turning you away from God. Repent and turn to Jesus Christ, my Lord. Turn to Him. His long-suffering. He's long-suffering to you, sinner. Sinner, let me ask you a question. How many times could He have taken you home? Let me ask you believers in here. I mean, maybe I bet we could get some testimonies in here. How many of you God could have taken home to? God could have killed. God could have taken out of this world. I shouldn't say take home. I should say take out of this world before you got saved. How many instances can you recall? Right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm getting flooded right now in my own brain. I'm thinking of a car wreck that I was almost in. I'm thinking of other things. Just one after another, they're popping into my brain. It's all there. How many times? Dear unbeliever, sinner friend, and you are my friend. So I'm telling you the best news ever. I'm telling you how to get out of it. I'm telling you how to have your sins forgiven. Be delivered from eternal hell and live with Jesus Christ forever and live upon this world with joy, peace, long suffering, and gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. He's long suffering. He's not willing that you should perish. Why will you die? God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's long suffering. But I'll tell you this. Number one thing that I can implore you today, that I can give to you today,
why God does not want you to die? Suffer forever without Him? I'll tell you why. Because He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He said, if He loves me, then why would He allow people? God honors the choice. Remember what I said at the beginning. Love's the choice. He honors your choice. He's not making you do one thing or the other, but I'll tell you what He is saying. He's saying, I'm lonesome, and I love you. I love you. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son. Listen to me, friend. Listen to the Scriptures. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus Christ did not come into this world to condemn you, to send you to hell, to put you away from God. No, He came into this world to bring you back to God, to restore the relationship that was lost. For he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But who is condemned? He that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed on the name of the Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Just like I've been saying this whole entire time. What is the thing that people are living for? They're living for what's around them. They think that life is about the here and now, about what I can get now, about what's happening right now. And Christian, you and I are just as guilty of falling back into that trap. Don't be lured back into that snare. Don't be lured back into that trap. Life is about God. It's about Christ. And when life is about Christ, then you know what? Your compass is pointed in the right direction. You'll go the right way. You can live in joy and peace and all the other things we've been talking about this morning. But sinner, let me speak to you for a moment. You're dead, and you know it. You know you have no real life. You don't have a life. You've come to the bottom. I'm here to tell you, there's only one that can save you. There's only one that is asking a very important question. Why will you die? Why will you die? Why will you die? When the living well is so nearby, why would you die? If today, all of a sudden you were dropped off in the Sahara Desert, and you were dropped off and you had no supplies, no water, no nothing, and as you walked and as you roamed and as you wandered, and as you looked around, you're certainly going to die. Nobody to save you, nobody to help you. But suddenly, off in the distance, it wasn't a mirage, it wasn't an imagination, but you really saw an oasis. And a well was there. And you crawled up to that well and you saw some people drinking water out of it. What would you do? What would you do? You drink water. You say, I'm saved, I'm delivered, I'm helped. Oh man, this is great. I am helped. Listen to me. I'm closing with this. If you care that much about your physical body, you would be a fool and you know you wouldn't. You know you would not look at that well and say, I'm just going to sit here and die. You wouldn't do it. You couldn't convince me with all the money in all the world, with all the logic in all the world. You couldn't convince me that you'd say I wouldn't do it. No, you'd do it. You'd run to that well so fast. You'd get in that well so quickly. You'd take a bath in that well. You'd jump down in that well. You'd do whatever you could to get water into your mouth. Because you don't want to die. Why don't you care about your soul like that? My friend, sinner, let me ask you a question. Why don't you care about your soul like that? He loves you, and He has given you the life everlasting from Jesus Christ right now, offering it to you. Will you believe? Christian, He's offering you life. He's offering you to live in joy and peace. Why would we die? You don't have to. Turn to Him. Turn ye. Live. Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you.